Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now let's find out what's going on. Joining us this morning is Bob Peterson, Delta County Commissioner. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Before we talk about last night's meeting, one of the things that Delta County got a little bit in the spotlight for was an ice rescue out on Little Bay du Nac. And, of course, that's the ice boat that the Delta County Sheriff's Office bought just last fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great thing. I actually found out about it. I saw the... So I'm taking the boat back to the sheriff's office. I was in Wells, and I was going to go talk to the sheriff anyway, so I stopped in to talk with the sheriff, and he informed me what they had done, and then I saw the video, and, you know, it's just a great thing. It keeps the rescuers safe while they're out rescuing people that have gone through.
I think I said ice boat. I meant airboat.
Airboat, yeah.
Not your typical airboat like you would think down in the Everglades when you take a look at the video. It is a pretty crazy looking.
Yeah, it's all enclosed.
Boat.
It's really quite the deal. You know, I was questioning the purchase, but now that I see what they're doing with it, I think it's great. We have people going through the ice every winter. And if they can get out there and save these people, it's just a wonderful thing.
Why were you questioning the purchase of it?
Just didn't know. You know, you don't know a lot about airboats. We don't have many of them up here. And I thought with the big open water and that, I didn't know how it was going to work. But I see the uses for it now, and I think it was a really good thing.
Replaces the hovercraft that used to be stationed at Gladstone Public Safety.
Yes, and I think it does a much better job.
Still being used, or at least still being stored up at the township there. I think Masonville has it, or one of the other townships along the shore there. But the hovercraft, or the aircraft, the airboat, is what's been kind of replacing that.
Yes, from what I've been told, I'm not familiar with the hovercraft, but from what I'm told, this is a much better option. Works much better.
So when you look at those kinds of purchases, I mean, that's quite a leap of faith then on your part, because you're the ones with the purse strings to say yes, go ahead and purchase this.
Well, that purchase was made before I became a commissioner. That was okayed, and it was. Paid for through the American Rescue Act or whatever it is. And
but you still have to, as a county board, have to approve it.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, that was taken care of before. I'll be honest, I don't know what I would have, if I was on the board at the time, what I would have thought about it. But like I said, like everything, you don't know everything, you learn, and then all of a sudden, it makes sense.
It was an ice rescue over by Portage was one of the reasons that the sheriff kind of fell in love with drones, because he borrowed one. I remember him talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
He borrowed one to check out somebody that was falling through the ice out off of Portage, and he was able to go out and check, and he was intrigued with the idea of being able to see before sending people out there what they might get into. And so that's now they've got several drones that do several different things, and that's been quite a tool for them as well.
Well, I haven't renewed my license, but I was a licensed commercial drone operator.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you're looking for a new career in the sheriff's department, are you?
No. I was using it to do my real estate videos and that.
Sure,
with.
Sure.
And they are a great tool. I could take a client out to show him 100 acres of property, and I could take my drone up and let him look at the screen while I'm flying over the property so he could see it. And that worked really good for people that weren't able to get out and walk an entire 100 acres or 200 acres or whatever. So it was a great tool, and it's a great tool for them too.
Okay. Well, it made national news for us
here,
so that's good to put the spotlight on our capabilities.
Yep.
One of the things that you did deal with last night is the renovations that are expected at Fuller Park. And we talked about that the last time you were in with Steve Weary, who
Correct.
The plans that he has in his first year in charge of the parks.
Yes. We think it's going to be a great addition to Fuller Park. It's going to be good for the citizens of Delta County to go out and use, because it's going to be open to the county, to anybody that goes out there. It's a day use area. It's going to have a nice gazebo on it. Not a gazebo.
A pavilion.
A pavilion, yes. I'm sorry. Nice pavilion on it. It's going to have a picnic area. At some point in time, we hope to get a playground set up out there. But like I said, it'll be a great addition to it. It'll be good for the citizens of Delta County. Plus, the campers that are there can use it also.
What was the discussion last night then?
The discussion last night was basically just to proceed. And we run into a little bit of a hiccup. It hadn't gone through the finance committee. We'd all talked about it. This has been a plan, something that's been in the plans for 2 years now. And we didn't send it through the finance committee, even though, like I said, it had been talked about pretty much throughout the board. But we gave permission to get started on it. Our administrator, Ms. Young, has the right to spend up to $15,000. That's more than going to be enough to start on it. It's probably going to be $3,000 or $4,000 to get a start on it. And we want to get started on it as soon as possible. And then we're going to bring it to the finance committee and come back to the board on the next meeting. But we want to get started on it because right now it's hard enough out there that we can go out and we can start mulching up the brush and clearing the brush and some of the trees out. And hopefully we can have this up and running before the camping season starts. Because once camping season starts, anything like that won't happen until fall or later.
Which makes it difficult when you're battling with weather, but maybe this spring will be a good spring. We'll see, right?
That's what we're hoping for, yeah.
So the northern end of Fuller Park was purchased with trust funds.
Correct.
Which, after changing it from a day use into camping, was determined that the property was purchased by the DNR, or with the funds from the DNR, in order to use as a day use.
Correct.
The property that this is going to be on, is that part of that purchase then?
Yes.
So that would qualify then to returning back to day use?
Correct.
Okay, so it's a way to accommodate that directive?
Well, we already accommodated that, but we didn't feel it was in a very good way. There's a little controversy when we were going to do this originally, because, like I said, this has been in the works for a couple of years. And so what we wound up doing was just putting a trail down along the river where you get to the beach and put a picnic table out. Not much of a picnic area. Most people don't even realize that that's a picnic area or a day use area. So we thought that by doing this, and we'll get it out there and advertise it, that it would be more useful to the people. We'll have a way to get down to the beach. Also, by doing this, we'll keep the people that are coming out to picnic separate from the campers. And I think that was kind of my idea. I didn't think the two should be right next to each other, where people are driving through to get to the picnic area or parking, where people are trying to camp, and vice versa.
Well, this is right between the two camping areas.
Right.
It's actually quite a bit of land right in there.
There's a huge parcel of land in there, and we're going to use, I figured it out to be just about an acre and a half that this is going to take.
Okay.
And it'll have a nice, it'll have a vaulted toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that way it's right there in the picnic area. The people that come out to picnic don't have to go running off to the camping spots.
Both camping spots, the toilets are right there on the edge of the woods.
Right.
So yep. You'll have them concentrated right in the middle of the facility then.
Yep.
So three facilities there.
Correct.
Within a short area. All right, so that'll get going here this spring.
Yep, we're hoping we can get this started here. I'd like to see it start in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
I mean,
well, the ground's not frozen, I suppose, right?
Well, the big thing is
you got to cut the trees.
Getting down and mulching and cutting the mm-hmm. trees, that can all be done. It doesn't matter if there's snow on the ground or not,
right,
or whatever. And the ground might be thawed, but it's still hard, you know. So that'll be good that they won't tear up too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a good project. There's some controversy. There's some people, excuse me, saying that there's wetland issues. Rory Mattson, who set this up originally 2 years ago, went through there and he made sure that where we were going to put it and what we were going to do, there was no, we weren't infringing on any wetlands.
Because you're not right on the shore either, right?
No.
And
no,
that's, I think that's where the wetlands comes in, is just before the shore.
There's some of it there, yeah. And there's some little spots scattered throughout. But we went in, and I was part of it back then. I was on the Soil and Conservation District. And I went out there with Rory, and I went out there with Pat Johnson. And we looked at the area. We scouted it all out. And the way we're putting it in avoids any of the wetlands.
One of the other things that you dealt with last night is a story I hadn't really been covering here on the radio station, but certainly was kind of a side issue to show a little bit of the relationship between the county and the Delta Conservation District, and mm-hmm. that is the purchase of a tractor.
Yes.
And the story there is that it's unknown really who owns the tractor. because it was a joint thing between the county, the conservation district, and Rory.
No, that was the dump trailer.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the tractor was owned by the Soil and Conservation District. When we split, they offered to...
Okay, so the dump tractor... The dump trailer.
Yes.
Okay, has that been resolved?
On our end, it has.
From the county's
end? From the county's viewpoint, we've decided that it's not something that we want, something that we need, and we didn't want to get in the middle of everything, so we just relinquished our share to it. They're going to pay us when the district and Rory figures out what they're going to do with it, then they'll pay us our share.
Okay, so that's been the standing issue on that one.
Yes.
So the tractor.
The tractor's another issue. excuse me, that was
and
bought
I apologize
up,
for getting those mixed up.
That's okay. There's a lot of moving parts here. Okay. I get them messed up myself sometimes.
All right.
anyway, excuse me. The tractor was purchased and owned by the district. They felt they didn't have use for it anymore, and they offered to let us use it. It's a 14-year-old tractor, still in good shape, but it's a 14-year-old tractor, and the deal was that we could use it. If something happened to it, we either had to repair or replace it. And we felt that it's starting out coming into this, the county should just have all its own stuff. The park should have its own stuff, and so we okayed the purchase of another tractor.
That will be owned by or operated by the parks?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I'm sure it'll be of use.
Because you have a maintenance department, too.
Right, and I'm sure it'll be of use to, as used for the maintenance if they need it. But the tractor is used quite a bit around the parks, moving picnic tables, unloading firewood, that kind of stuff. We're getting a brush hog for it so we can take and go up and do the trails up at the county forest. And so most of its use will be the park. But like I said, if Corey needs it in the maintenance, it'll be available to him if it's not being used.
Okay. So that'll be something new to add for this coming season then?
Correct. Yep. All right.
Just curious, because when Steve was in here, he had the feeling that the county forest was not in his purview. Has the county figured out who's going to be operating the forest?
The county forest is absolutely in with Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
Matter of fact, in the grant that we got, it is listed as being part of Parks and Recreation. That was originally set up that if we had once we start harvesting timber off of it, that money will go into the parks in case we have a slow season.
Right.
So
he definitely is in charge of that forest.
Steve Weary is, yes, definitely in charge of the forest.
Any other issues that you dealt with last night that you want to talk about? You had actually a short agenda,
you know,
which is unusual.
I had some things I wanted to cover at the end, and I looked at the clock, and it was just like, hey, we got a one-hour meeting here. Let's just get out. We, you know, most of our meetings run anywhere
from three to four hours,
and so it was nice just to have a quick meeting and no huge controversies. We dealt with the soil and erosion last night.
The position?
Yep, and there was a little bit of tension there.
Why is that?
I want to be careful here. One of the commissioners did not like the the filling of that position.
Okay.
And mostly it was against who was filling that position.
Okay.
And so...
Who is the county looking to hire?
Well, Rory Mattson is the only one that put in for it. We put out an
RFP. Is that right?
Yes, we put out an RFP for it.
He'd been doing it anyway.
Correct. Yeah, and...
So why take it away from him and then... Well, because he left the conservation district. Is that why?
Well, that's why we have... Not, I shouldn't say that's why we have him doing it. That's why we
have
the
opportunity. So you hired Rory to do it?
We have to sit down and do some negotiation yet. The RFP was looking for qualifications, and we didn't have we haven't sat down and said, okay, this is how we're going to pay, and this is, you know, this is how we're gonna. He's not going to be an actual employee of the county. He's going to be a contractor, and he's coming in to help out. excuse me, until Jack Smith can get the qualifications and the training he needs.
Who is he?
Jack Smith is the building and zoning inspector.
Okay.
And he's planning on taking that over, but he doesn't have the qualifications. He doesn't have the knowledge yet. So he's going to work closely with Rory to get this. And then once he's trained and handling it, then Rory will step down and we will get rid of that.
So you think this is a good idea?
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely. I think Jack's a really good person. I think he'll be able to handle it.
I mean, Rory.
Well,
Rory.
Okay. As far as Rory goes, you know, we all know he's a controversial person, and there's some people that don't like him. There's a lot of people that do, but he does that job, and he's very knowledgeable, and he does it well. And I don't think we can get a better person to come in and help us through that part.
When you bid this out, it was only for somebody to do it until Jack could be qualified?
Correct.
Okay. That's an unusual...
Well... It'll be cheaper in the long run once we get Jack up and running.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get a little pay bump for doing it, but we need to get somebody through. And we had John Malner had brought up last night that the road commission said they would do it. Well, the road commission said they would only do it until breakup or until we found somebody. They didn't want to do it full time. They didn't want to get involved with it. You know, it could take... I don't know how long it could take, a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years for Jack to come up and get the training he needs. They were going to cover it just until, but once the road restrictions come off.
They're going to be busy.
They're going to be busy, and they didn't want anything to do with it at that point.
Then the other subject you wanted to talk about, Steve View and John Melner discussed micromanaging in the county board among the commissioners, and cited it as one of the reasons that there might be some of the issues that the county board has found itself in.
I think that's kind of funny myself, actually. And what's really funny about it is on Kelly Vangenhoven's page, one of her people put on that exact topic. And you and I had mentioned it, I think, off air one time. We talked a little bit about it, maybe on air, I can't remember. But... I actually went out and asked Miss Young, the airport manager, the sheriff, anybody that I deal with on a regular basis, if they thought I was intruding, if I was overstepping my bounds. They all appreciate the fact that we come around. I don't go in and say, hey, I want you to do this or whatever. I go in and say, hey, I'm here. Is there anything I can help you with? We have some time. I stop and see the sheriff. We talk about all kinds of different things. I don't tell anybody what to do. There is no micromanaging. I feel as a commissioner, I have a responsibility to help the county run smoothly, and I have a responsibility to know what's happening in each department that I deal with. And I'm on the parks board. I'm on the airport board. I'm with the sheriff, I'm on the fair board, and several others, but I feel if I'm going to make intelligent decisions, I have to know where these different departments are at and what their challenges are. That's what I'm there for.
The issue did come up on air because when we were talking about the Delta County Airport, it was... commented that you spend a lot of time at the airport, or had been at up to that point. And then now with the parks, were seen out there quite a bit as well with the transition that was going on. And that's why it was brought up. But the idea of being on a board is to set policy and to let the administration certainly handle that through the employees of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the issue is being discussed. But I don't think it's just you that they're referring to. Certainly, when you look at Dave Moyle running the county, do you see any issue there on how he handles his leadership ability?
I don't. Everybody's got their days. Dave doesn't have the time to spend because he works out of town. He very seldom gets involved in any of the committees or anything on a personal level. He keeps track of what's going on through the board members or the people that have the committee assignments, and that's what's supposed to happen. And like I said, yes, I do go out to the airport a couple times a month besides the board meeting. I meet with people at the fair board and discuss. We've got some things happening with the fair board. Some of it's between actually the fair board, the county, and the city of Escanaba on their Ninth Avenue renovation. I only get involved when I'm asked. And we'll take the airport, Robert Ransdather, I ask him. He would have no problem telling me if I'm overstepping my bounds, as we know.
I believe that only meeting him one time. Yes. He seems like a strong character.
Yep. Yeah. And when I talk to him about it, he says, I appreciate that you come out here. And like I said, I'm not interfering with the airport, its operations. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I think that, like I said, my job as a commissioner is to keep myself apprised of what's happening in the county. And so that, like I said, we have to make decisions on it.
How do you see, then, if that micromanaging is not the issue, what do you see is the issue and how can it be resolved?
I haven't heard anything that there is any issues between the board and the departments other than some people just don't like decisions we make. But my thoughts on it is if the board had been more involved with the airport, maybe some of this stuff would have been caught earlier that was going on. How can you legislate, because that's basically what we're doing, how can you legislate over something you know nothing about? And so, and like I said, I could be all wrong, but I just think that the people of Delta County expect me to know what's happening in Delta County and with the different departments, with the airport, with the parks, with whatever. And if you're not out there and making contacts and talking to people, how do you know?
Kelly just texted me here.
Sure.
a second ago, and she wanted me to ask you why you're concerned about what she has to say on her Facebook page.
Well, when I'm being accused of something, I like to respond to it. And I was accused of micromanaging, and so I'm responding to it.
Is micromanaging a bad thing?
In some instances, it is. If I were going behind Ashley's back and saying, Bob, we need you to do this, or Steve, we need you to do that, that would be
undermining her.
That would be undermining her. I talk to Ashley as much or more than I talk to the other people. And I talk to her about issues that are coming up, issues that I see, issues that she might have. And a lot of times I'm talking to the airport and she knows that I'm doing it and she supports that I'm doing it. If I talk to her and she says, I've got a plan for that, okay, cool. I back off. And I shouldn't even say I back off. I just don't proceed. And so far in talking with Ashley, like I said, talking with Ashley, Miss Young, and talking with other people at the airport, they all really like what I do. I've gone out and talked to the people in the grounds people at the airport. They were flabbergasted. They said, in all the time they've been there, no commissioner's ever come out to talk to them. They really appreciate it. They talked to me about things that they needed, things that they thought they saw. Then I can take that to Ashley and say, hey, I was just talking to so-and-so, and they were talking about this. You know, what do you think about what can we do with it? It's my job.
How do you, I know you're addressing it, but just to kind of wrap things up a little bit, how do you feel your management style is as a commissioner? What is it you try to do?
Try to lend a hand wherever I can. I you know, it went, take for instance the picnic area out at Fuller. I went out with Steve. He asked me to. I went out with Steve and helped him kind of lay out what we were doing and discuss how we thought it should be. I go up to the forest and I see if there's any damage up there, if there's anything we should look at, if there's any gates pulled up. I've probably been up to the forest at least a half a dozen times since summer. And like I said, I'm probably doing things that other commissioners haven't done. Doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Bob Peterson is a Delta County Commissioner. Certainly appreciate your time with us here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at HometownEscanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.